Today is the seventh and final message on this topic, who I am in Christ. And in your bulletin, you got two sheets. One is the outline for today, but the other is kind of a synopsis of all seven messages on who I am in Christ. And if you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are all these things, according to the Word of God, whether you feel it or not. It's true. And so many times we get, we start believing the stuff that we're told. You know, people tell us who we are. Sometimes we just tell ourselves who we are. But what's important is who God says we are. You know, because of sin, I was broken. Because of Jesus, I'm righteous. Because of sin, I was a sinner. Because of Jesus, I'm dead to sin. Because of sin, I was not living God's word. Because of Jesus, I'm fulfilling God's word. Because of sin, I was living for myself. Because of Jesus, I'm living for God. Because of sin, I was worshiping my way. Because of Jesus, I'm glorifying God. Because of sin, I was incomplete. Because of Jesus, I am complete. Because of sin, I was dead. Because of Jesus, I'm alive.
Amen.
And I'm a creature. I'm known. I am like God. I am God's caretaker for His creation. I am made to relate to His creation. I am made for obedient, thankful worship. Then, perhaps the best list of all, I am forgiven. I am rescued. I am free. I am God's possession. I am justified. I'm saved, loved, a new creature, born of God. I am Jesus' friend. I am alive. I am sealed. I am made pure. I am safe. I am victorious. I am reconciled. I am redeemed. I am known. I am chosen. I am accepted. I'm blessed. I'm secure. I'm a messenger. I'm adopted of God. I'm a child of the promise. I am God's workmanship. I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm a member of Christ's body. Here's a couple of good ones. I'm going to live forever. And I'm an heir to the King. Heir of the King. So those are all the things. And they include the ones for today. But I just wanted you to have something, you know, kind of concise, because over 7 weeks, a lot of things get lost, that kind of thing. But sometimes the world causes us to have fears and doubts regarding our worth, regarding our value, regarding our identity. And you can look at that list and say, no, Satan, I am not worthless. I am not. I'm a child of the King. I am valuable. I'm forgiven. You can't bring up my past to me because I'm forgiven of it. I do not bear guilt anymore. Because, you know, we know there's a lot of things bringing us down, trying to anyway. And who we are, who the world says we are, it's radically different than who God says we are. And the world's in an identity crisis, but the Christian should not be. Simply because God tells us who we are. So I hope that this study has been an encouragement to you. And we're going to finish it off. I got four more I ams, if you will. And I read them. They were on the sheet, but we just need to finish this. And there's probably more. These are the ones I found. 43 of them. So it's by no means exhaustive. But we will go forward. Who I am in Christ. I am safe. I am safe. You know, sometimes we don't feel safe. Sometimes we question a lot of things. But there's some promises in God's Word about us. And I am safe. Why? Why am I safe? I mean, it's easy to make that statement, but why am I safe? Because God is working for my good. God is working for my good. I hope you believe that. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it. Sometimes it doesn't even seem like God's working at all. And we're just like, are we just along for this ride or what's going on? But we need to understand that God is working for my good, and I am safe because of that. Look at the scripture, Romans 8:28, a very popular, well-known scripture. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. And many people will quote this verse, and that's where they stop. You know, when something bad happens, well, I know all things work together for good. You know, and they'll quote that. But this is one of those verses that has a qualifier on it. It's, everything does not always work together for good. Has to do with where we're at. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. So first of all, do you love God? And then secondly, those who are called according to His purpose. So the question becomes, am I fulfilling His purpose for me? And if I am in the midst of doing God's will, yes, all things work together for good. You know, if I'm called to something according to His purpose, and you know what I've found in my life many times, I'm called all right, you know, to my purpose. The things I want to happen in my life, the things that, the direction I want to go in. My goals, my dreams, my plans, those things. And I'm working to make them happen. And not always are they, you know, it's not necessarily bad things. It's just not God's plan. And so I'm not talking like you're in sin or anything like that. I'm just saying you could be doing a good thing. But if you're not called according to His purpose, you've got a problem. Because all things aren't necessarily going to work together for good in that. I've said, a lot of times I'll say to people, you know, I'll tell people I'm going on a mission trip, doing this, doing that. And they'll say, wow, that's kind of like not a good place. And, you know, the places I've been haven't been all that tough, to be honest with you. Not a lot of persecution. There's some, but not, you know, where I ever felt my life was in danger or anything. But the point is, and what I tell people is, if you're in the will of God, you're as safe there as you are here.
Amen.
You're just, if you're in His will, you're covered. And, you know, it's just like, you read about tragic stories. You know, people will go serve two or three tours in Afghanistan where there's huge danger, or Iraq, or, you know, one of those places. And then they come home and, you know, one guy was killed by a stray bullet in a, you know, crazy thing. So he survives war and comes home where you think you're going to be safe, and he gets killed. And some of them have died in car accidents and things like that. You know, and that's not to say they were out of God's will or anything. What I'm saying is we're never really safe, if you want to call it that. Something can always happen. You know, on the way home, I remember I left here one night. I think it was after men's Bible study. And I'm going down Fieldland Road, and there was a car stopped in the other lane, and this other car behind him was going, you know, fast, and it was dark, there was no lights, and a couple of cars went to the shoulder, but then the big truck with a trailer was behind him, and he couldn't go to the shoulder, so he came into my lane. And his mirror hit my mirror. Broke my mirror off. I mean, another foot, it would have been a really bad accident. I mean, praise the Lord, it just broke my mirror. And, you know, I had to buy a mirror. And that's all that happened. But, you know, we got no guarantees, folks. I mean, it's just whether you're here or there or wherever. What is important for the Christian is to be where God says you're supposed to be. And then all things work together for good, for those who love God, for those who are called according to His purpose. And that word His is the biggie in that verse. Are you walking in God's purpose for you? Do you even know God's purpose for you? And look, I'm not talking some big nebulous thing, okay? I'm talking about a lot of His purpose is right here in His Word. For you, it's right here. Are you in His Word on a regular basis? Do you pray regularly? You know, do you serve? Those kind of things are His purposes and His will. And then as you excel in the basics, He begins to broaden your horizons and move you. I was with a young man the other night. He dropped in on our men's Bible study. I took him to the place he wanted to go afterwards. You know, and I talked to him and I said, man, you know, where are you going, man? He goes, and there was something, you know, he knew scriptures. He had a Bible and he quoted to me, you know, a lot of scriptures and stuff. And I said, you need, you know, here you are, you're going to a homeless shelter. And he's like 26 years old. And I'm like, are you living where God wants you to live, or are you just doing your own thing? And I had talked about a lot of things during that men's study, and he said, you know, a lot of the stuff you talked about, you know, was really meant for me. And I said, well, that's God's providence. I said, it's no accident you are here. And you walked in, and then you heard what you heard. And what are you going to do with it is the question. What are you going to do with that information? You know, you say God impacted your heart in some way through things that were said and shared in that meeting. Well, now it's on you. What are you going to do? Because we all make these choices. And you're safe when you choose to follow God. And, you know, I always say, you've heard me say it, you know, well, it could be dangerous, yeah, but you can't threaten me with heaven. Amen. You know, if you know where you're going.
Amen.
You know, okay, they shoot you. Okay, now I'm with God. It's not so bad. Now, you know, I don't want to leave my family behind and those kind of things. We have those emotional ties and things. But by the same token, I can't let fear stop me from following God. And that's what Satan uses. God does not use fear. Satan used fear and guilt and shame and those kind of things to alter our path. God uses love and encouragement, His Word, His Spirit, to keep us on the path He would have us be on. So are you called according to His purpose? That's a question we all have to answer at some point. But I'm safe because if I'm sensitive to where God wants me to be, He's working for my good, and I'm safe. I'm also safe because I won't be separated from God. You know, what's scary is a lot of times if we're alone. You know, when you're all by yourself and you're in a situation, that can be a little scary or a lot scary. But when someone's with you, just someone's presence being with you makes you feel so much better. And we need to understand, As a Christian, God is with us. In fact, He's in us. For I am persuaded that not even death or life or angels or rulers or things present or things to come or hostile powers, height or depth or any other created thing has the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, nothing can separate us from God. He is with us. If you are a born-again believer, if you've accepted Christ your Savior, He is with you. And I know sometimes it's not tangible. I have felt alone. You know, in certain situations, you're like, wow, where's God in all this? And you feel alone. That's where you cannot go by your feelings. You can't go by your emotions. You have to go by what you know to be true. And if God says, I will never leave you or forsake you, then He has never left you or forsaken you. He's there. Whether it feels like it or not, He is there. Right there with you. And you need not be afraid. It's amazing when you read the scriptures over and over again, fear not, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Because what's our natural reaction when we're faced with something we weren't ready for or whatever? We're like, whoa, you know, when the angel, appeared, don't be afraid. First thing he said to the shepherds out there, don't be afraid. That's our reaction. We're human. And we have that when something takes us by surprise, when something that we did not expect, we're like cautious. God says, don't be afraid. I've got you. I'm with you. Don't be afraid. We are safe because He's working for our good. We are safe because they're having too much fun in there. They're having way more fun than we are. Separated from me, we are safe because He has confirmed me. Some versions say strengthened me. Some versions say established me. All those words are very similar. It's really, He has made us steadfast. We are steadfast. He's confirmed us. He's established us. We're on a rock. We don't walk on sand as a Christian. We're on the rock that is Jesus Christ. And it's a firm foundation. And, the verse is, now it is God who confirms us with you in Christ. That's the first part of 2 Corinthians 1:21. It is God who confirms us with you in Christ. And God is at work in us. He strengthens us. He establishes us. And aren't you glad it's not on you? I mean, when it's on us, it's pretty shaky. But when you're relying on Him and His ways and His Word and His Spirit, that is firm. That is strength. That's how sometimes people are strong in the midst of like crazy circumstances. Just ridiculous things going on in their life, and yet they're just calm and they're firm and they're established. They feel safe. He has confirmed me. Second half of the verse, He has anointed me. He has anointed me. I'm safe because He's anointed me. Now it is God who confirms us with you in Christ. That's the first part. Second, last part of the verse. And has anointed us. Anointed simply means to be consecrated or set apart to an office or a service. Some sort of service. We have people that do many things within the church. Whether you think of it that way or not, you're anointed to that. If God, one of the things I ask when people say, I want to serve in this way, are you called to that? Do you believe that God has called you to serve the body of Christ in this manner? And if you are, you have been anointed or set apart or consecrated to a particular task or job or however you want to put it, or an office. You've been anointed. And you're safe because you are anointed to that. And God doesn't, He's not a waster of time and resources and energy and those kind of things. If you've been anointed to something, you can be sure that you can carry it out, because why? He's going to provide the means to do it. He's a God of provision. And you're safe. You don't have to carry it yourself. Now, do you need to prepare? Yeah, if you've been called to a certain, let's say you're called to be a Sunday school teacher. Well, you better prepare your lesson. I mean, you gotta be smart, right? I mean, you can't just walk in there and, Oh, gee, I didn't really think about what I was going to teach today. I just thought I was going to show up and I'm the teacher. Well, that's ridiculous. Of course, you have to prepare, but he has anointed you. He will provide you with what you need. So many people will say, man, I never thought I could do that, but, you know, but I'm loving it. And that's because we, generally speaking, we don't like change. We don't like taking on new things that we never did before. And sometimes God upsets our little apple cart in our comfort zone, and he says, you're going to go do something. I've anointed you to teach a Bible study. You know, Nappy's, he's embarking on new ground starting Thursday. He's going to be leading the men's Bible study and instead of me. And I know that can be a little intimidating. I'll be sitting there, you know, definitely picking apart everything he has to say. And, yeah. But no fear, Nappy. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
I'll bring a stick.
You'll bring a stick. Oh, that's good. That's good. Be aggressive. That's the way. But, you know, it's scary. You know, it's like something you're not used to doing, but you prepare and then you let God have it. You know, you do what you can do. Let God do what only he can do. And that's how you approach ministry, folks. You do what you can do and let God do what only he can do. I always think about Lazarus, you know, that he died and was buried and Jesus came on the scene and he goes, let's go over here. He says, roll away the stone. So they rolled away the stone. Now, could have Jesus just said, stone be gone? Yeah, I could have done it. He calmed the wind and the storm and all that, right? I'm sure a rock would be no problem for him. But they moved the stone away. Then he says, Lazarus, come forth. And here comes Lazarus, you know, all wrapped up in burial clothes. You know, doing this, I guess. How are you going to do it, right? He came out of there. You know, picture this stuff, man. That's how it happened. So he comes out there. And Jesus says, take the stuff off of him. They could roll away the stone. They could unwrap the clothes. They could not bring him back to life. Only Jesus could do that. And you know, in your ministry, and whatever it is that God has called you, don't take on more than he intended. You know, just do your part. Do the part you can do. And you let God worry about it. You know, I see people, what if no one shows up? That's not on you. You prepare and you come. If no one shows up, that's not on you. You know, every time anybody plans, you know, like Michelle, every so often, the ladies take time off and then there's a new study. I'm going to have a new study. Gee, I hope people sign up. I mean, that's always something that will go through our minds. I hope someone shows up, but that's not on you. If God has called you to that, you just do your thing, do what you're supposed to, and be ready. And, you know, I've heard of pastors that started new works, and who do they preach to on the first Sunday? Their family. Because that's the only people that show up. And then they go out, because a church plant, that's how it starts. Sometimes it's in their home, or it might be in, you know, whatever, and no one shows up, so he preached, you know, you prepare, preach to his family. And then you still go out and visit, you know, whatever, and people start coming. But it's not on you. God gives the increase. We plant and water. God gives the increase. Just like planting a seed or anything else. You plant a seed, put it in the ground, water it. Are you making the seed grow? Because I've planted seeds that don't grow. So it's amazing. You can plant all this stuff. Some grow, some don't. Why is that? I don't know. Same ground, same water, same sunlight. Some grow, some don't. So it is when we sow in God's kingdom. Sometimes there's a lot of fruit. Sometimes there's seemingly no fruit. It's not on you. Don't let those kind of things stop you from God using you. And just remember, you're safe. It's God that's doing it. He's anointed you for a purpose. Trust him. Trust him. Lastly, on this topic about I am safe because God has sealed me. He's working for my good. He's going to be with me all the time. He's got me on a firm place. He's anointed me to do something. And you know what? He has sealed me. He has also sealed us and given us the Spirit as a down payment in our hearts. You need not be afraid. You are safe. Why? If you've got the Holy Spirit, you've already got the down payment for what's to come. It's the down payment. A lot of promises for the Christian. And God keeps His promises, folks. He keeps His promises. You just don't get them all in this life. But they will be fulfilled. They will be fulfilled. All His promises to us. So, just remember, when you're serving, you are safe. You're as safe as you could be anywhere else. If you're in His will, you're as safe as you could be. Is God able or is He not? I mean, that's really what it boils down to. Is He able or is He not? And then your actions reveal your answer to that question. And I had the same conversation when I was in Peru and God was telling me to quit my job and I had nothing out there. Nothing out there. And I had that conversation. I'm like, God, what am I going to do? How am I going to have insurance? How am I going to live? How am I going to, I need money and you're going to quit you want me to quit my job? Really? I had that conversation for a week. And then one night, I was just laying there arguing. Really what it was. He just says, am I able to take care of you? Do you believe that? I had to answer the question. Yeah, I believe. But I'm kind of like that guy that had the demon-possessed son that nobody could cast a demon out of. And he took him to Jesus. And Jesus says, do you believe? And the guy goes, yeah, I believe, but help my unbelief. That's a really real place you can be in life. You know God can do it, but you kind of don't know if He'll do it for you. I don't have any doubt on God's ability, but sometimes I wonder, is this really His will for me? Because I realize if it's not, then it may not happen the way I need it to. All that to say, He gave me enough peace, and I went home, talked to my wife, and we ended up, I quit. And I'm still here to talk about it. And it was a good thing. And He was able, and He is able, and He's still sustaining me and my family and all that we do. And uses all these different things to do it, to accomplish it, and praise the Lord for His variety and His unlimited resources. That's all I can say. Mine are limited. His are unlimited. So I'm going to be in His bank, not mine. He never runs out. So anyway, if God is stretching you, realize you are safe. You're safe. Second, I am victorious. I am victorious. I hope we live as if we are. Sometimes Christians live defeated lives. And a lot of things cause that. I get that. Many lives, life is complicated. And there's, a lot of things that make us feel defeated. But that's why you need to come to a place like this and go, I am victorious. Even though all this other junk has fallen apart, I am victorious. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who's against us? Again, we try to win these battles on our own. And it's God's battle. that song, "The battle belongs to the Lord." You know that. If God is for us, first of all, remember that, you know, because this is a building. I've got several verses here, and they're all building to a point. But what are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against me? I mean, really. Well, I mean, we know there are things against us, but we got God. You know, God and I make a majority, mainly because of Him. And that's a good thing, because sometimes we feel outnumbered. But remember, you know, if He's for us, who can be against us? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or anguish or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, because of you, we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. A lot of Christians stop at that verse. And it's like, yeah, I became a Christian. Everything's just persecution, and it's costing me this and that or whatever. We can have that mindset, but he goes, no. In all these things, in all what things? Affliction, anguish, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. In all these things, okay, we are more than victorious through Him who loved us. All the stuff that can happen to us, harm, danger, you know, being in harm's way, all those things. But we are more than victorious through Him. Look at this. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand? You cannot be beaten. You cannot be stopped. Death cannot even win when you are with the Lord, when you're in His will, when you're just trying to serve Him and obey Him. Nothing can stop you. Nothing. No, sometimes it seems like we're stopped. I mean, things happen, right? You think, you know, when Daniel was tossed in the lion den, you know, kind of probably put a hitch in his get along a little bit, huh? You know? Because honestly, or the three young men that got tossed in the furnace, I mean, what'd they say? You know, they said, well, you know, we're not going to bow down to your statue. You know, and he says, do you think your God can save you? Well, yeah, we know our God can save us. Now, whether He will or not, that's up to Him. They had no guarantee. And neither do we, because we don't know what God's doing. We see part of the picture. You know, we watched that movie, The End of the Spear, or whatever it was, about those missionaries that went to South America. And they went out there, got killed, yeah. Just got wiped out. And then their wives and kids came back. And ended up, the guy that actually killed the one lady's husband, the one boy's father, got saved and became like a friend of the family. Now we could say, we could take the first half of that picture and say, wow, that was a defeated mission trip. All those men got wiped out. And if the rest had not followed through, yeah, it would have been a defeated mission trip. But they went back. They regrouped and they went back, and that's what spoke to those people. And they ended up knowing the Lord. Thanks be to God, it gives us the victory. Now those guys died. They didn't know what was going to happen. They were killed. And it might have seemed like a defeat, but you know what? God, I always tell people, you know, He's always working in a bigger way than what we see. You may say, why did I get that disease? Why did that happen to me? Well, in getting that disease or that circumstance, that usually brings us in contact with people we would not normally meet. And now we have an opportunity for God to work through us, to touch someone that we would have never met otherwise. Sometimes that's what's going on, and we don't see it. We don't recognize it. We don't realize it. We just get focused on what we're going through, and we're going, why? And what we fail to understand is God had a reason for that. He put you in touch with somebody. And it may not even have been for them. Maybe they just needed to see your faith so that they could tell someone else that you'll never meet. You just don't know what God's doing. That's where we just have to have faith. You know, we just have a religion of faith. You understand that, right? Sometimes you just got to believe. Sometimes your faith is all you have. You've got no reason. You've got no logic. It's just like, wow, I just got to believe and hang on to that. Sometimes that's all we got. But what you need to understand is that may be all you got for that moment, but what you need to understand is what you really have is the victory. Mm-hmm. We have the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord, regardless of what it looks like in this life. We are victorious, and even death cannot stop us. Here's a biggie. I'm going to live forever. I assure you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life. You know what I like about that verse? I'm not going to be judged. I'm not going to come under judgment. Because, see, if you don't have the Lord, you're going to be judged. I mean, we're all kind of going to be judged in a sense, but the good news is we're judged on our works for our service. They're judged on their works for their salvation. That's the difference. And they're going, the ones that do not have the Lord, well, they're going to pay. They're going to be under judgment, and they will die the second death. But those of us that have the Lord, we pass from death to life. We avoid the second death. We live. Man, that's a serious promise, folks. He says, I assure you. I assure you. I assure you. He says it again in John chapter 6. I assure you, anyone who believes has eternal life. Jesus said to her, this is the passage I had Dave read. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die, ever. And then he asks a very important question. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? You know, Jesus, in another place in John, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus made that statement. Then he says it again. I'm the resurrection and the life. And if you believe in me, even if you die physically, you're going to live forever. You will never die the second death, ever. That's what he's talking about. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Because you know what? You've heard me say it before. You do what you believe. You do what you believe. You could say, I believe in tithing. Really? Do you tithe? No. Well, then you don't really believe. Not really. Because the promise of tithing is what? There's a blessing involved with tithing. And if you really believe that there was a blessing involved, you would be encouraged to do it. But if you don't, then you just don't really believe it. And that's just truth, folks. Same with any other promise in the Word of God. Do you believe? Comes down to even our salvation. Do you believe? Do you believe there's a heaven and a hell? You know, we think people are crazy that don't, you know, they say things like the world, you know, people in the world, they're not spiritually discerned. Well, I don't want to go to heaven. That's boring. Hell is where all my friends are going to be, and we're just going to have this big party in hell. Yeah. That's what they say. I've heard people say this. Yes. I'm sure a lot of you have. A lot of us have probably said that in our ignorance. In our ignorance. Okay? Yeah. But the point is, if I really believed there was a hell, I wouldn't make jokes like that. The bottom line is, there's a whole lot of people, they don't think there's a heaven or a hell. They just think this life is all there is. And that's why they say the things they say and do the things they do. We do what we believe. You believe that chair will hold you. If you didn't, you wouldn't be sitting in it right now. You do what you believe. And Jesus asked that question, do you believe this? And you know what? If I believe there's a hell and I believe there's a heaven and I believe that I'm going to hell because I never put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I believe I'd ask somebody to show me what the Bible says that I can do to avoid this. You know, I've said it's the easiest thing in the world to lead someone to the Lord. The hard part is getting them to believe they need the Lord. Because once they understand there's a heaven and a hell, there's a price to be paid, once they believe that, they're like, what do I do? They're ready. They're ready for you to present the gospel. Because you got to get them lost before you can get them saved. Does that make sense? You got to get them to believe there's a need in their life. If they don't believe they need a Messiah, why should they pray a prayer? I've witnessed to guys that had pretty much a lot of stuff going on pretty good, you know, and they're like, well, I don't really, you know, they weren't really in a need, but they changed their tune when their kid got sick. You know, there's stuff like that goes on. And when things are good, who needs God? I mean, let's be real. When everything's good, and you know what, Christian? We do this. When everything's good, how's your prayer life? Now, when things get bad, oh man, we're on our knees. Right? But when it's good, how's our prayer life then? We ebb and flow too. Shouldn't be that way, but we do. We need God more in the valley than we do on the mountaintop. And that's a lie that we believe, by the way. Because we need God all the time, you know, regardless of what's going on. But in our, you know, limited minds that we have, we tend to just naturally, when things are going good, we're not as close. And then when things, you know, are going the other way, we get real close. That's just natural. You do what you believe. Do I have another one? I do have another verse. Jesus spoke these things, looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. This is John 17 when his marvelous prayer right before the crucifixion. And he says, the hour has come. That's the hour he's talking about. He knows he's going to be nailed to the cross. He knows he's going to pay the price for our sin. It's upon him. And he says, glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you. For you gave him authority over all flesh so he may give eternal life to all you have given him. You know, when we say we want eternal life, isn't it nice that the Bible defines eternal life? And Jesus himself says it. This is eternal life. That they may know you, meaning the Father, the only true God, and the one you have sent, Jesus Christ. You know, when you have that personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, that is eternal life, according to the Lord. That personal relationship. You see, eternal life doesn't start when you die. Your eternal life starts the moment you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're still here, flesh and blood, on planet Earth, still with your sin nature and all the stuff that we got to deal with, you know, in this world and in ourselves. Yet we have eternal life right now. It's for the here and now. It's not just for that day. It's the here and now. And we can live that life with confidence, in victory, in safety. You know, all these things that we read, all that whole list of 43 things, we have all those things now, right now. Do you believe that? Going to live forever. Last, I am an heir of all creation. And it's good to be an heir. You know, you get, when you're an heir, you get something you didn't work for. You get somebody else's work, right? Some, you know, your parents or your grandparents or somebody, they did these things and then they went on and then you got their stuff. Okay? Well, we're heirs. And we get God's stuff. Now, is that cool or what? I mean, think about it. We are an heir of what? All creation. Stars? Yeah. Yeah. The Grand Canyon? Yeah. Yeah, we get that too. Yeah, the government thinks they own it. You know, they don't own it. Yeah, the government thinks they own a lot of things, yeah. That's a whole other subject. I could go a long way with that one. I'll just stop right here. I'm an heir of all creation. Hebrews, in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. God has appointed him heir of all things and made the universe through him. Okay, so here we see Jesus is the heir. Okay? It's kind of that weird thing with God the Father, God the Son, you know? Like, Jesus is God, yet Jesus is an heir. But yet he created it. You know, it's like, it's that thing about God that we can't really comprehend. Because he's way bigger than what we can grab a hold of. So just believe it. You know, just read it in the Word. Know that in some ways it's logical, but in some ways it's not, but it's true. You know, to this day, we don't really understand electricity. You know, but we know how to use it and harness it and, you know, and all that. But, you know, things about electricity are kind of weird. Although I saw this one thing. I don't know why I'm saying this, but just funny. Just made me think of it. This guy had a Trump Pence sign in his yard. Have you seen that one?
Yes.
That is funny. I think John might have sent that to me or something. This guy's walking down the street, you know, just some guy walking, and he sees the sign, so he runs up there and grabs it. The guy had it hooked to, like, power. And so he ran up there, and he grabs it, and goes, ah! And he's stumbling all over the front yard, you know, he grabbed that sign. I thought that was hysterical, man. I'd like to do that with my back fence. All these people come, we live, our backyard dumps into this park, and it's a shortcut, otherwise they gotta walk all the way around, and we're like the only house that don't have a dog, you know? And so, guess whose yard they cut through, right? Man, I would love to hook some power up to that. But I'd get sued, you know? I thought about that when I saw that video, too. I thought, I wonder if that guy got sued for that. But it was funny, man. Guy deserved it, too. He had no business being on his yard. He had no business pulling up his sign. I don't care what the sign said, you know?
Exactly.
Oh, well. Why did I say that? I don't even know. Anyway, we're heir of everything, whether we understand all that or not. Okay, so Jesus is the heir. Okay, next verse. When the time came to completion, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. Remember, when you accept Christ your Lord and Savior, you are adopted into his family. Okay? You're adopted as sons. And because you are sons and daughters, okay? Sons and daughters, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts crying, Abba, Father. Okay? He sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. So, Kevin, you were asking about, do we pray Jesus into our heart? I would say by this verse, we do. The Spirit of his Son, Jesus, right? Sent into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, isn't that good news, but a son. And if a son, then you're an heir. You see, we are adopted, and before we were a slave to sin, God frees us. When we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he frees us from our sin and adopts us into his family, and now we're no longer a slave to our sin, but we are forgiven, we're free, and we're brought into God's family, and we become an heir just like Jesus is an heir. In another place, the Bible says we are joint heirs with Christ. Amazing thing. He did not even spare his own son, but offered him up for us all. How will he not also with him, Jesus, grant us everything? We'll be granted everything. We got it all. We got it all. The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. And if children, also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. You understand, we inherit it all. We get it all. We're all joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Pretty amazing. That's who we are, folks. That's who we are. It is so easy for us to be focused on the physical and the temporary realities in our lives. Do you understand? The physical and the stuff that's going on, it's all temporary. You got health problems, money problems, relationship problems, all that stuff. It's temporary. Okay? Now, yeah, it gets our attention, and rightfully so. Things happen. We got to attend to it. I get it. But understand the nature of it, because the world will try to tell us who we are on that basis. You know, if you failed at a bunch of things, well, you're a loser. That's what the world will tell you. You're a loser. Oh, you know, you've not contributed anything. You're a loser. Based on what goes on in this life. But we know that our identity in Christ is based on who God says we are. And what Christ has done. It's not who we say we are, or who the world says we are, or what we have done, or what's been done to us, or whatever by the world. It's based on who God says we are and what Christ has done on our behalf. What Christ has done. Aren't you glad it's about what he's done, not what you've done? Man, telling you. Good to be a child of the King. These are spiritual and eternal realities that the world does not understand. These are only spiritually discerned. Unfortunately, most Christians base their identities and live their lives mainly focused on the physical and the temporary. Now, you know, we know there's a spiritual and all that, but we get really, really focused on stuff. Okay. And again, listen, we do have responsibility and things like that, but let me go to the next one. They know there is a spiritual side, but find it difficult to keep these two competing realities, and they're both realities, We got the physical that we deal with, and then there's the spiritual. Two competing realities of life. We need to keep it in proper perspective. Listen, we got a responsibility to live in this world. We're flesh and blood. We're physical beings. We live in this world. Yeah, we got to deal with it. That's part of our reality. But the other part is we are joint heirs. We are children of the King. We are redeemed and forgiven. We have all these 43 things and more. And we need to keep that in proper perspective with the reality of the world we live in. We got to be balanced in that. We can't let the physical overrule what God has done in our lives. Believing who the Bible says I am in Christ is key to fulfilling God's will and purpose for my life. If you don't believe this, how can God use you? If you don't believe what He has to say about you, how can God use you? You ever try to somebody that's just defeated? Well, you can do it. No, I can't. And it's sad. Some people are defeated. They've been beat down. And you try to encourage them. You can't do it. And you know what? That happens to us spiritually if we let it. That's why we got to stay in a place where we can be encouraged and stay in contact with God as well so that He can encourage us. And we say, you know what? I'm not basing my success or failure on what the world says. I'm basing it on what God tells me. And when you do that, that's key to God being able to work through you to accomplish His will and His purpose for you. You know, I remember Elijah. You know, when he had the great victory, right? Fire came down and, you know, the prophets were all killed. And then Jezebel goes, I'm going to kill him. And he ran and he was beat down. And then when he got there to the cave, and God says, what are you doing here? And Elijah says, well, you know, all this stuff happened. I'm paraphrasing here. It's not okay. All this stuff happened, and I'm the only one left. And God does all this stuff. And then He says, it's actually a repeat. I mean, when you read the verses, it's just exactly the same. And He says, what are you doing here? Only with the inflection, it's almost like God's going, now, what are you doing here? And he says the same thing. Oh, all this bad stuff happened. Oh, they're trying to kill me and blah, blah, blah. And you know what God did? Fired him. He fired him. Elijah, the great Elijah. He got fired. He said, okay, look, Elijah, look. Okay, you're going to go anoint this guy king over here, and you're going to go anoint this guy king over here. And then when you get done with that, you're going to go to Elisha, and you're going to transfer the power over. You're done. And then you know what God said right at the end? He goes, by the way, I still got like 10,000, I don't know what it was, several thousand. I don't remember. I'm shooting from the hip here. Didn't know I was going to say this. But he said, you know what? I still got like 7,000 prophets that have never bowed to the false God. You weren't alone, Elijah. You just didn't believe me. You know, it comes down to, do we believe? Yeah, Elijah went up in the chariot of fire, you know, and all that. That was cool. But no, it probably wasn't cool. Chariot of fire. But. It was warm. But anyway, you know, but you know, who knows what God wanted to do with him? You know? I mean, I don't know. And he transferred it over to Elisha. We need to believe what the Bible says about who we are. Knowing my identity makes me fully alive and able to cooperate with God to make me more like Jesus. We have to cooperate with God in that process. Okay? To become like Jesus, now that's an identity worth living. Do you believe it? I hope so. Might be someone here today that you've never... You kind of believe it. You recognize its truth, but you haven't made the choice. You haven't committed. You haven't asked God to forgive you. You've been playing the game, or you've been kind of keeping a foot in both worlds, in a sense. And when are you going to commit? When are you just going to let God have it? That's really the first step. You're just saying, you know, God, you're right. I need a Savior. I've been working my way my whole life, and I'm done with that. There might be someone here today, just like Jesus asked him, says, I've done all these things that you can have eternal life. Do you believe it? Do you believe this? If you do, you need to come to him. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. For the rest of us, are we living out our purpose or his? Do we struggle with feeling safe? Do we live in victory? Do we live as if the victory has been won? Because you realize the victory was won 2,000 years ago on the cross, right? When Jesus burst forth from the tomb, the victory over death was done. Do you live in victory? Do you have balance between the physical and the temporary and the spiritual and the eternal? Do you have those perspectives right in mind? Those are the things we need to ask ourselves. Those are the things that if God reveals to us that we're kind of out of balance or we're kind of got the wrong purpose, we need to make a change. Start doing things His way. That's where the blessing is. Let's bow our heads. Is anybody here today would say, Brother Mike, I realize today that I've never made that commitment. I need to make Jesus Lord of my life. I need to accept the forgiveness that He provided through His death on the cross. I recognize that. I've never done that. I need to do that. Is there anybody like that? Anybody? Just slip your hand up. I want to pray for you. For the rest of us, how many would say, Brother Mike, I've been kind of living for my own purpose and I really need to be seeking God's purpose and moving in that area? Anybody like that? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. How many would say, I need to start living in victory? I've been kind of letting the world kind of beat me down a little. I've been kind of being self-conscious about some things, and I just need to start realizing that God has won the victory and I need to be part of that. I saw that one hand. God bless you. See another hand. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. How many would say, I struggle with this temporary and the eternal. I kind of live focused more on my life here, and I need to kind of keep God in mind in a greater way as I walk this planet. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray that we would take these truths to heart and allow you to work in them. Be with these ones that raise their hand. Give them grace. Give them wisdom. Give them light, Lord. They're wanting light. They want to see what to do, Lord. Give them application, Lord God, that they could walk in a truer way, Lord God. You're working on hearts. I pray, Lord, that there would be decisions made today. Work on our hearts, Lord, as we ponder your word and what it means. And Lord, make us more like Jesus in this regard. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time. If you need prayer, you can come up. I'll pray with you. If you have a need, just make it be known. Make it be known to God. If He's burdened you with something about the message today, this is your time to hash it out with Him. He's waiting. Thank you. Father, Lord God, we come before you, a grateful people, Lord, for your many, many promises in your word. Lord, indeed, we have an identity in you. And I pray, Lord, that we would live that out in a way that pleases you, that glorifies you, Lord, that lifts you up. And Lord, that people would see you when they look at us, Lord, and that they would be impacted by it. And it would cause many to come to Jesus. And Father, I thank you for your word, the truth it contains, and the fact that you never change, Lord. You are consistent. You are perfect. You are indeed the mighty God. And we ask you to bless our lives, Lord, as we seek to serve you according to your ways and your purposes. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.